Yes, and all right. Hey, good morning to you. First off, got to give a shout out to the praise team. Did they do an incredible job or what? Amen. Awesome. It's just one of those things we're just really blessed with at Dorrisville here. And the second thing we're really blessed with at Dorrisville is you. Thank you so much for coming today. I know every church, you know, across the world, and especially in the Western Hemisphere, and others, are celebrating this great thing called the resurrection. And there are lots of choices that you could make of where you're going to worship today. And I just want you to know, we're just so glad you came to worship here. And my heart's desire is that when you leave here today, already through the worship, then through the word, that you have something that you can take home and really apply to your life. Now, if you're visiting, Brent's already mentioned this, but I want to hit it again. If you're visiting today, maybe for the first time, or maybe you've been here lots of times, but you've never filled out a Connect card, we would like to invite you to do that. It's in your bulletin. And if you'll stop by the little desk out there in the foyer, Sonia Dennison will be there. She's our hospitality coordinator, and she has a gift for you. And probably you could even get a gift if you don't fill out a form. How's that? And you know, remember the old days when, you know, you fill out a form and somebody was going to come knocking on your door? Well, those days are gone, but we would like a way to contact you and, you know, find out if there's any way we can minister to you and help you. And if you're looking for a church home, maybe tell you just a little bit more about Dorrisville. So thank you so much for coming today. And today, you know, of course, Easter, you know, Easter's kind of hard. Have you ever figured that out? You know, Christmas, there's enough. You got the wise men, the shepherds and all that. But, you know, with Easter, it's all about Jesus getting up. It's all about the resurrection, and there's only so many ways you can approach that. It's the biggest news ever in the history of man, but God spoke to my heart. In fact, he spoke to my heart a while back, and first off, we had the title, Death Valley, and then he laid it on my heart about the blooming in Death Valley. See, I think the big word for Easter is hope. Hope. I mean, you've got to understand, you know, before Jesus, boy, there was just not much hope in death. And there wasn't any hope in death. It's like, you're done, you know? And so along comes Jesus, and he dies on a Roman cross on Friday, and, you know, is buried that night, stays in the grave on Saturday, and then early Sunday morning, he comes back to life. And what he did was, in doing that, he was victorious over death, and he gives us hope. He gives us hope. And, you know, to me, Easter is when you find hope in unusual places. You saw the movie that Trey picked out, and that's Peter and John. They run to the cave, you know, and he's not there. And you watch the smile come across their face as they remember the words that Jesus has spoken. I'm going to die, but on the third day, I'm going to come back to life. And you saw that. And here's the deal. Because of Jesus, you can find life in places where you normally would find death. In fact, one of the angels was talking to some guys on the resurrection, and he kind of was puzzled. He said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Normally, cemeteries and tombs are places of dead people, but Jesus changed all that. So Easter is all about hope. Easter is about finding hope in a place where you not expect it. Easter is about blooming in Death Valley. In case you don't know, Death Valley is located on the border between California and Nevada. You also might know, may not know, it's a very hot place. In fact, it is the recorded hottest place on earth, as long as they've been keeping records. And in 1913, they recorded a temperature of 134 degrees, and that's the hottest temperature ever recorded on the earth. And they only get, well, they get less than, they get 5 centimeters of rain a year, less than 2 inches for the entire year. Now, think how usual it would be if you're there in Death Valley and you're walking along and you got your water jug, of course, and you get there and you find a bed of tulips blooming. Wouldn't that be unusual? Or maybe you walk just a little bit further and you find a beautiful rose garden blooming right in the middle of Death Valley. And so you would say to yourself, wait, this is unusual. And I'm telling you, there's nothing more unusual than the way that Jesus Christ came and he gave life and defeated death. You know, there's lots of stories about Death Valley. Obviously, the greatest is Jesus himself when he endured the cross and then resurrected on the third day. That's the greatest. But did you know, tucked away in the Old Testament is just a great Easter verse and an Easter story. You might remember a guy, if you do church at all, you might remember a guy named Job. And if you don't do church, you may have heard the saying, well, you know, my boss, my friend, my wife has the patience of Job. You may have heard that. And the story is this, you know, Job lost everything. I mean, Job lost, he was very rich. He lost all of his wealth. He lost his oxen and cattle and sheep and all of that. He lost all of that, and he lost all of his kids. They were out having a big party together, and a windstorm came, and the house collapsed and killed all of them, okay? And then he lost his health, okay? He got this really bad case of boils, and he was just a very, very sick man. And so the two things he didn't lose that he wished he would have, you know, there's always that in the story. You know, one was his wife. Oh, come on. Some of y'all feel the exact same way. You know, take my wealth, but take my wife too, please. Well, you know this story. So anyway, so yeah, let me tell you what Mrs. Job did. You know, she was such an encouragement. You know, so she walks up to her husband after losing the kids and losing the cattle and his boils cover his body. He's really sick. And you know what she says? She says, why don't you just curse God and die? Isn't that encouraging? Anyone have a wife? No. Never mind. I didn't ask that question. It's Easter, okay? But yeah, so probably, you know, wouldn't mind having Mrs. Job go with the cattle and the oxen. And then the other thing is he had friends. Well, you know from the movie, the TV series that went on forever, Friends, you know. Friends are great, not these friends. So they show up. There were three of them, and then finally a fourth one showed up. But there were three of them, and they did the right thing. I think they sit for like 7 days. And just look. You know, sometimes the best thing you can do is keep your mouth shut, okay? So they did for 7 days, and then they were just like, and they couldn't hold it back. And they start offering all this terrible advice, Job. And basically what the wife said, why don't you just confess your sin and tell God that you did wrong, but he hadn't. And so they were friends that nobody wanted. And he probably wished, you know, the friends would have never showed up either. But a lot of stuff he lost was difficult. But you know what? Tucked away. Now Job was written somewhere in the middle of Genesis, okay? You remember the first book of the Bible, Genesis, okay? About right after chapter 14, somewhere in there. You know, this is where the story is recorded. And I want you to listen. Now, all these centuries and centuries and centuries, millennia before Easter, listen to what Job said. This is Job 19:25, okay? I know, he said, sent millennia before Jesus, I know my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. Wow. And here's the deal. Here's the crazy deal. Somehow Job was able to bloom in Death Valley. I mean, it's so difficult. But his faith in God carried him even through that difficult time. There was a guy named David, and he came along a lot later, but he was the second king of Israel, and he was the most famous king of Israel. He was a really, really cool guy. But he had a lot of hard times, too. It seemed like every time he turned around, somebody's wanting to kill, you know, David, including the first king. He was going to be the second king. The first king wanted to kill David. And he wrote this wonderful scripture found in Psalm 23, and it's verse number 4, and we use it all the time at funerals. And here's what it says. He said, even though, and by the way, this is a sermon in itself, even though I walk through, I love this, through the valley of the shadow of death, I think one of the translations says, through the darkest valley, through the difficult valley, through death valley. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And you know why? Because you've read the verse. You are with me. David's saying, listen, I know people want to kill me. They want to cut me. They think less of me. They got labels for me. Anybody here have labels? Yeah, you know? You know what? God, you are with me. And he realized that he could bloom in Death Valley because of that. Now, when I started planning my Easter message today, I really wanted to give you something you could take home. And so if you're here today, and first of all, again, we're just glad that you are, but I really hope this is something today you can apply in your life. My goal as a teacher is to give you something from the Word of God every week, but especially today. So maybe today, it seems like you're in Death Valley. Okay, maybe you're really in a difficult time. And I want to give you something that will perhaps help you bloom in Death Valley. Our story is taken not from the resurrection story, but from John chapter 11. John chapter 11 is where we're going to be today. And it's a really interesting story, okay? So let's read. Let's start our verses, verse number 1 through 3. Now, the Bible says, now a man was sick. Okay, let's pause there. It's not big news, but it's news we need to look at. Now, a man was sick. We all know about sickness. We all know most of us have endured a sickness. Now, once again, ladies, I'm not talking about a man cold. I know when your husband gets a cold, he stays home from work for 2 weeks, and you have to nurse him back to health. We all know this. We all know this. But I'm not talking about a man cold. I'm talking about the kind of sickness that really gets your attention. You know, the kind that starts with C, cancer, heart, things, just big things, big things. We may all experience times like that. But sometimes the sickness is not physical like that. Sometimes it's a marriage that is sick. Sometimes it's a character that is sick. Sometimes it's a career that's gone south and it's really, really sick. Sometimes, students, sometimes it's a relationship with your parents that really, it's gone sick. It's gone sick. So sometimes it's a physical thing. There was a man sick and we had those. Sometimes it's an emotional thing. You know, depression and things like depression, anxiety and those kind of things, man, they're huge sicknesses. Now, in case you're one of those people who want to judge somebody who's depressed and tell them to pull up by their bootstraps, you're wrong. Depression's a sickness. And it needs to be treated as a sickness. And so many of the other anxiety and all those different things are sicknesses that need to be treated. Maybe you're there. Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe so. And sometimes it's, you know, circumstantial. Sometimes the things that are going on in your life that's really got you in a dark place. You don't know how. Your finances are totally messed up. May have been your fault, may have not. Who cares, right? Because when things are bad, things are bad. Well, this guy was sick. And probably there's a good chance that a lot of us have been sick or are sick right now. And we find ourselves in Death Valley. It's not uncommon to be there. In Death Valley. Well, this guy's name was Lazarus, okay, from Bethany. That means he was from Bethany. Okay, Lazarus from Bethany and the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, these three characters are pretty big, okay, and we're going to talk about them as much as time will allow today, okay? But get in your mind, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha are big players in this. Now, we got this verse number 2. And it realized I've got to be a spoiler. I don't have any choice. So here's the deal. So Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair and was her brother that was sick. Okay, so here's the deal. So you've got to be wondering, like, what caused that? Because this is no small deal. Okay, this perfume, if you want to circle that in your Bible, this perfume was nard. Now, that doesn't mean a thing to us today, but back then it was a big deal. In fact, it's such a big deal that often people would put their life savings in perfume like this. It was a tradable commodity, all right? Worth her offering here, her perfume, was about anywhere from 12 to 16 ounces, okay? And it was worth a year's wages. So this was probably her deal. This was her 401k. Okay, so we find her, okay, taking this perfume, this nard, and then she begins to anoint the Lord. And this was just a thing of high honor, okay, high honor. So she anoints the Lord, and she wipes his feet with her hair. I know it's like, oh, that's just really weird today, but wow, what a thing of reverence and respect. It was just crazy good. And it was Mary, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now here's the deal. Have you figured out maybe that there is something more here than a healing? I mean, surely, you know, if Jesus is going to pull it off and heal her brother, well, that's pretty cool, but a year's worth of wage? Maybe not. So maybe there's something more. And there is. Guess what? Spoiler alert, Lazarus is going to die. And Lazarus isn't going to stay dead. The reason, and this is written, looking, you know, John's writing this, saying, oh yeah, this is Mary. Mary does this after Lazarus is resurrected. So it's looking back. But he wants everybody to know about this woman named Mary and what she did for Jesus. Because it's so big. And the reason she did it is that Jesus brought blooms in her death valley. And you'll find yourself, you know, we'll have stories about God. So many of us have stories about God where God just did some really big stuff and we can't keep our mouth shut. I love it. In the early church, they didn't talk about the cross. Oh, it's a big deal. But a lot of people died on the cross. Nobody came back to life again and stayed alive. So guess what? When they were talking about the early church, after the resurrection, Jesus said, we can't just stop talking about it. Reckon so. You know, when you serve a guy named Jesus, you see him die on a Roman cross, he comes back to life and sticks around for 40 days before he sends back to heaven. You go with that, man. Who could keep quiet about that? If the church would do more talking about a resurrected Savior and less about the politics, we would probably do a lot better. There's a place for politics, don't get me wrong, but I'm telling you, the church needs to get the good news out that there's a man named Jesus who died, who resurrected, and can help people live in their death valley. That's huge. Yeah, come on. That's huge, guys. And that's the message we got for you today. It's about a guy named Jesus who overcomes death. All right, so Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped her feet with her hair. And it was her brother that was sick. Now, look at verse number 3. Now, if you'll notice on my little tagline there, I've got business as usual. This is how we expect things to play out. So the sisters, Mary and Martha, sent a message to him, to the Jesus, said capital H, Lord, the one you love is sick. Now here's how it's play out, right? Here's how it's supposed to play out. Okay, so Jesus loves Lazarus, and we're going to find out in just a little bit that Jesus loved Mary and Martha, and we already know that Martha and Mary and Lazarus love Jesus. So the way this is going to go down, when he gets the bad news, when the prayer call out comes and says, Lazarus is sick, well, we know what's going to happen. Jesus is going to drop everything immediately, and he's going to take a fast donkey down to Bethany so he can heal Lazarus. The crazy thing is, that's not exactly how it plays out. See, we think the same thing. We think, well, surely if we love God, if God loves us and we love God, then it's all going to turn out exactly like we want. And guess what? Sometimes it just simply doesn't do that. Which brings up that question. Why do bad things happen to good people? I mean, you've got your neighbor. I know you've got a neighbor. And he's not a good guy, and you expect bad things to happen to him. You get that. In fact, you may be glad and say, I'm glad it happened to him. You never say it publicly, but you say, yeah, I'm glad. Maybe his dog barks too much. I'm glad. But what about when bad things happen to good people? Like Lazarus. Like you. Like your children. What about that? Why does that happen? Well, the bottom line is this. You know, bad things happen to good people, and bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. That's just the way it is. That's the way it plays out. The worst of us get sometimes the best, and the better of us get the worst. Let's look at our teaching point. There's two things I want you to take home and remember today. The first is this. Life is an equal opportunity impactor. It happens to good and bad people alike. Write that down. You say, life isn't fair. Bet your bottom dollar is not fair. Are you just now figuring that out? There's no promise anywhere. Not the government, not culture, and not God who says life is always fair. In fact, Jesus said, you know, hey, in this world you're going to have some trouble. But be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. But you're going to have trouble. So write that down. Life is an equal opportunity impactor. You're going to have, you can be the best person in the world and have hard times. And you can be the worst person in the world, and boy, boom, it just falls into your lap. How about that? Is that crazy? And the second thing is this, a turn in the road isn't the end unless you don't make the turn. We were out cruising yesterday, and I was under the mistaken impression that Battle Ford Road ended up on Highway 13. I found out it doesn't. In fact, finally, I'd left my phone at home. I said, Judy, you might want to get your GPS out and see where we are, because I don't know. All I know is, you know, Battle Ford Road was big, and now it's small, like a one-lane road. So anyway, so we're going along, and I see that little sign. The yellow sign has the arrow pointing like that, you know. And I think Judy said, boy, they want to make sure you see what's about to happen. And what was about to happen, it wasn't a curve in the road. It was a right turn. And if you miss the right turn, there's a nice big tree there for you to hit. See, a turn in the road isn't the end unless you don't make the turn. So we've got to understand that. That when we go through Death Valley and we're looking for some blooms, you've got to remember when we follow God's way is when it's not the end. It's just a turn in the road. It's rather big. All right, so there's a quote from C.S. Lewis. This is what makes C.S. Lewis quote. He's one of the old dead guys, okay? But he was an atheist when he was a young man. And then because of a couple of... How many of you ever heard Lord of the Rings? Lord of the Rings, anybody? Gosh, only a few? Yeah. Well, it was really famous a few years ago. And the guy who wrote it, Tolkien, wrote it. And he was a really good Christian guy. And he had to be a really good friend of C.S. Lewis. And he's one of the ones that helped C.S. Lewis find the Lord. Well, C.S. Lewis said these words. God whispers to us in our pleasures. Okay? That's why, you know, things are going good. He speaks in our conscience. When we might mess up, he speaks to our conscience. But look what he says here. But shouts in our pains in his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. One of the reasons God allows some difficult times some way is he wants us to come home. You know, God said, can you believe this? God said he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's why we had the cross. For God so loved the world. God loved you. God loved you and you and you and you and the rest of the world so much, they allowed his son to die on a Roman cross. That's how much he loves you. So sometimes he'll allow difficult times, he'll allow death valleys to come into our life, simply for the reason to rouse us and respond to his loving call. All right, so now we had business as usual. Now we got business not as usual. Let's see what it says. Verse number 4-6. So when Jesus heard it, and it was, your friend Lazarus is sick. The one you love is sick. Okay? When Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness will not end in death. Okay, that's important. He didn't say it wouldn't involve death. He said it wouldn't end in death. That's point number one. That's important. And point number two is also important. It says this. He says, it is for, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So, whoa. So the reason this thing is happening is, okay, it is for God's glory. Now, you may not like that. You may say, what kind of God would allow suffering to come in? Well, keep in mind, he uses that suffering to bring you home. But also, God wants to bring glory to his name. And sometimes that involves difficult times. I don't know about you, but can I speak for me? I can speak for me and tell you this, that some of my biggest times when I had aha moments with God was in a difficult time. Is when he showed up and led me through a difficult time. I tend to praise God less when things are going good and more when they're going difficult. Okay? So in this case, number one, it will not end in death. And two, it is for the glory of God. It won't end in death. Okay, look at me. I want you to know something today. You might want to write this down. Number one, any sickness, whether it be the physical kind, whether it be the emotional kind, whether it be the circumstantial time, no sickness has to end in death. Wait, that's not true, Dwayne. My brother died. Yeah, mine too, four of them. When my sister died, I know I've got one with pancreatic cancer. I know. When my parents died, a long time ago, thank you. Here's the deal, though. that when Jesus comes into the equation, they may die physically, but they never have to die spiritually. Isn't that cool? That is so cool. Okay? You may die physically, but you never die spiritually. Okay? So when Jesus comes into the equation, no sickness has to end in death because of the resurrection, because of Jesus Christ. It's amazing. It's amazing. Okay? But secondly, don't forget, God wants to bring glory to his name. This plays out in the whole deal. Okay, here we go. So now Jesus, verse number 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Yeah, I remember this, Dwayne. This is how it plays out. You know, they love Jesus and Jesus loves them, and everything's going to turn out just like they expect. And then it doesn't. So what does Jesus do? Like I told you, he gets a turbocharged donkey. Okay, he humps on his turbocharged donkey and runs down to Bethany as fast as he can to heal Lazarus. Nope. Look what it says. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. What? Wait. That's not how it works. Don't you know anything about God? I serve God and I get everything I want. And when I mess up, he withholds it from me. Who told you that junk? Have you been watching some guy on TV? That's not how it plays out. Remember? You know, the whole story was about, listen, the sickness won't end in death. Death can't win this job. When Jesus is in the equation, death can't win. When Jesus is in the equation, death can't win. When Jesus is in the equation, death can't win. And God is in the business of our good and his glory. Our good, his glory. Our good, his glory. Okay? So when you figure that in, that's why he stayed 2 more days. And I've got a nugget for you coming up in just a moment, because there are people here who go, yeah, that's just like God. He never seems to show up on time. And the reason why, he decides to stay and have a picnic where he was, you know, instead of going to Bethany. And you feel like that. You say, you know, I was hurting and I was sick and my family was sick. I was emotionally sick. I was circumstantially sick. I was physically sick. And Jesus didn't show up because he's somewhere having a picnic. You just don't understand how God works. You just don't understand how God works. So he stayed 2 more days where he was. Then our teaching point shows us something. Well, first he shows us John Piper. Thanks, Nancy. Get it back up there. That's good. There we go. Look, this is too good to pass up. You know, the sickness, you know, this is God's universal purpose for all Christian suffering. More contentment in God, to God be the glory, and less satisfaction in the world. He knows our tendency as Christians to become satisfied in the world. So that's why he spends the suffering that he does. Okay, Nance, go to that next slide. Now, our teaching point says this. So what do you do? What do you do when God doesn't make sense? What do you do when Jesus decides to stay 2 more days and have a picnic? Or at least it seems that way. What do you do when whatever God allows in your life, it just doesn't make sense? Can I suggest this? And this is more for Jesus people. Stay faithful in the mystery. Stay faithful. You know, remember this. Nothing. Somebody say nothing. Now, that's a big statement. Nothing under God's control is ever out of control. So you Jesus people, you got to live this and believe this so you can tell your friends. Okay? They need, when you're in that death valley and you can't see a bloom, okay, you need to believe this. Nothing under God's control is ever out of control. I've told you a little bit about my sister. She keeps getting good reports. Now, listen. I love it. She's honest enough, says this. Listen. Barring an outright divine miracle from heaven, my sister's going to die. Stage 4, liver, lungs, she's going to die. She knows that. The prognosis, she said, has not changed. But I thank God for every good day he gives me. That's where she is. I've learned so much from my sister during this journey with her cancer. You know, she has so demonstrated that she believes that nothing under God's control is ever out of control. She believes that God has got this. How amazingly wonderful is that? So, we get down to a harsh reality. Now, it goes something like this. I had to cut some verses out, but here's the shortened version. So, Jesus says, hey, we got to go down to Judah. And the boys say, you don't want to go to Judah, Jesus, because, you know, that's where they tried to kill you last time you were there, you know. And then he says, well, Lazarus, our friend Lazarus is sleeping, and so we need to go to him and wake him. And they said, oh, they were a little slow. Oh, well, if he's sleeping, he's doing better. And Jesus said, not that kind of sleep. Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. Now, wait, Dwayne. You said this didn't involve death. I said it didn't end in death. Jesus said it didn't end in death. It definitely involved death. So Lazarus has died. And look at verse 15. Oh, I'm glad for you that I wasn't there. What? Wait a minute, we got our best friend dies, our friend Lazarus dies, and you're glad that we weren't there, that you weren't there? No, I'm glad. Yes, I'm glad because I want you to believe. Remember, nothing has to end in death, and God wants to get glory to his name. I want you to believe that. Hey, church family, I want you to believe that today. I want you to believe that no sickness, boy, that's a bold statement. No sickness through Jesus has to end in death. And God's in the business of glorifying his name, however that may look like. I'm glad for you that I wasn't there so that you may believe. Now, let's go to him. Do you see something there? I got a big nugget coming, but that's a little nugget. See, when someone dies, you don't go to him anymore. You may take a pot roast to the family and say, you know, we're really sorry for your loss. You may take some food over. Hey, you even may go to the funeral, you know, and the visitation. But you don't go to him. Do you see it? And the reason Jesus say, let's go to him, is because he knew that the end wasn't the end. He knew that death didn't get the final vote. He knew that sickness didn't have to end in death because of eternal life. Isn't that cool? I think it's so very, very, very strong and powerful. So in verse 17, all right, when Jesus arrived, okay, so he finally leaves where he was. He goes down to Bethany. When Jesus arrived, here's what he found out. He found out that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Oh, all right. This is the bombshell. This is for every person who said earlier, yeah, God never shows up on time. He never shows up for me on time. Perfect timing. What do you mean, Dwayne? Okay, all right. I wish I'd made a slide for this, but here we go. Okay, so this is Bethany, and this is where Jesus is. Okay, so the girls, the sisters, sent a message to Jesus up here and said, "You're the one you love, Lazarus, is sick." So it took 2 days from the messenger to get from here to here. You got that? Here to here, 2 days. Okay? Then up here, Jesus decides to spend 2 more days. So we had 2 days getting there. Now he has a picnic for 2 days. Okay? And finally he says, let's go. Our friend Lazarus is sleeping, and we need to wake him up. So from there to Bethany is 2 days. So we got 2 days, 2 days, and 2 days. Okay? Now let's do reverse math. How long did it take for Jesus to get to Bethany from where he was? 2 days. How long did Jesus stick around and have a picnic? 2 days. How long was Lazarus in the grave? When did Lazarus die? The day the messenger showed up. There wasn't a hurry because Lazarus was already dead. He was right on time. Well, what do you mean, Dwayne? He's right on time, 4 days. You look at our teaching point. 4 days removed any doubt. Let me explain. Lazarus was dead beyond natural hope and even superstition. Here's how the Jews played out. So when a person died, they believed that their spirit hung around, okay, for up to 3 days. And on the fourth day, well, Elvis left the building. On the fourth day, they believed, the spirit left the area. So if it had been day one, there was a possibility of a natural resuscitation. If it had been day number two, there was hope of a natural resuscitation. Even on day number three, they believed, there was a hope for a natural resuscitation. But day four, it was game over. Why was it important that Jesus arrived on the fourth day? Because in a few chapters, a few verses, which we'll not get to hear today, Lazarus is going to walk out of the grave. And there was absolutely no doubt that Jesus did it. That's why the 4 days is important. What's the point? The sickness will not end in death because Lazarus is going to march out of the grave and to glorify God and his son Jesus Christ. And trust me, that day when Jesus said, move the stone away and move the stone away, and Jesus called out, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came bouncing out of the grave, God got the glory. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. You may, in this case we know, you may not get to see the whole story, but you can trust God. God doesn't make mistakes. And God loves you. He loves you too much to just unintentionally hurt you. I love this, God never wastes suffering. Never wastes suffering. Well, I'm already in the red zone. I have how long I've been there. But it goes like something like this. Martha shows up and said, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And that's totally true. That's totally true. If Jesus had been there, she wouldn't have died. But here's the deal. She was wanting a healing, and God was wanting to do a resurrection. In order for there to be a resurrection, Lazarus had to die so he could bring him back to life. Okay? And then he says, well, Martha, your brother's going to come back to life. And she says, yeah, I know, in the end times. I've read the scriptures. In the end time. And Jesus said, no, Martha, I am. Oh, if we had time, don't have any time. I am the resurrection and the life. And if someone believes in me, then they can live. They're going to live. Because I'm the resurrection and life, they can live. In fact, if you believe in me, you'll never die. Now, he's speaking about heaven. He's talking about your eternal part. Your soul will never die if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. And then Jesus said, do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you're the Son of God. Well, again, I've already told you the story. So Jesus goes and talks to Mary. And she said the exact same thing. If you'd been there, her heart was broken. If you'd have been here, they go over, he rolls the stone back, has the stone rolled back. He hollers and Lazarus comes out. Big news! Death didn't win. And for every person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus, death will never win. Death will never win. That's when death was arrested. I came out of that grave. Death was arrested. And that's when you have blooms in Death Valley. That's when you find life in unexpected places. That's where you find tulips in the middle of a desert or a rose garden in the middle of a desert. And Satan hates it. Satan hates it. Satan hates Easter, but he really hates Easter. Because death was always his ace. And Jesus took it away from it. So here's the deal. If you're in a hard place right now, Jesus people, followers of Jesus, believers, if you're in a death, don't lose sight of this. Don't lose sight of the mystery. Don't lose sight of the mystery. God is always in control. And there's nothing ever that he's not in control of. If you're not a Jesus person, it's Easter, maybe you decide to come to church, somebody promised you a free dinner. I don't know. Please don't judge God by the church. We get it wrong too often. We say one thing and do another. We're way too quick to judge you when we don't have any business judging you. So don't throw God under the bus because we often don't get it right. In fact, I want to invite you today. My friend Brent's going to be standing down front. I want to invite you to come and just talk to him for a minute and say, okay, you know, Dwayne was right. I've been kind of mad at God because my brother died. I've been kind of mad at God because I see what Christians say they are, and then they do something totally different. They judge me and throw stones at me. That's kind of hard. But he said I shouldn't blame God for that, and I want to know about that God. So we'll be glad to share with you today. If you're in Death Valley, you're a Jesus person even, and you're in Death Valley, can I invite you to come to the altar today and just pray? Just tell God, hey, God, I trust you. I don't always understand you. Sometimes, God, you don't make sense to me. But God, I believe in you, and I trust you. And then what's really cool is when you do that, then your friends who need Jesus are going to look at the way you handle death and sickness and sorrow and pain, and they're going to say, I don't understand it, but I want what they got. I, too, want to be able to handle difficulty like that. So we call this our time of decision, and the team's going to be singing a song, and Brent will be down front, and I'm available also. So if you need to come and pray or whatever, if you want somebody to pray with you, just let us know. And like I said, I don't believe in accidents. You know, I know every person in this room, every person on Facebook, and every person on the radio, God foreordained that for you. So I hope you've got something today that even if it doesn't make sense, is something you can trust and believe. Hey, would you bow your heads with me, please? Oh, Father, thank you very much. What a privilege to share this good news. Even the part about where we don't understand you is good news, because it just simply means you're a God so big that we can't get our arms around you. Father, I'm grateful that no sickness has to end in death because of Jesus. Oh, we may physically die. We understand that. We're not talking about something that's not true. But we do know that Jesus, when you are in the equation, all of a sudden, everything changes. All of a sudden, death cannot win because you were victorious 2,000 years ago. So thank you for that. And for my friends today, thank you for that. Everybody came. Everybody came. But especially the ones who may not know you yet, I pray you'll speak to their hearts. And just like you called Lazarus out of the grave, may you call them out of their grave of darkness and despair and shame and guilt and bring them into your hands and your arms. And Jesus, I pray this in your precious name. Amen.